Well, good morning, church. Good morning, confirmands. It's an honor to be able to stand before you this morning. I want you guys to know, first and foremost, how proud I am of all of the weeks of dedication that you've given to wrestling with your faith and coming to the conclusion of this confirmation experience. Last service at 9 o'clock to see a number just like you guys sitting here. It's an honor to be able to stand before y'all and open up God's word this morning that he might teach us all something new. But it's especially special this morning to stand before you confirmation students today. As you know, we've been in a sermon series called Good Soil. And Grace Marie Ward, if you were here last weekend, gave one of the best messages I've ever heard. A fantastic message setting up this whole series because we're talking about this parable or this story that Jesus tells to his listeners in the ancient Near East. And he's speaking to them about these four different soils that the seeds of a farmer are thrown into. And three of those places, the seed does not take root and produce any kind of crop or harvest. But there's only one place where the seed does grow. It falls on good soil. The Bible says it produces 30, 60, 100 times what is sown. She shared a very important observation with us last week, and it's simply this. All throughout the story, there's never a problem with the seed. There's a problem with what? The soil. There's a problem with the soil. I've been in South Carolina now about 20 years, and I've learned after being in the state for a while that in South Carolina, you have five seasons. Did you know that? I mean, every other state, there's four. There's summer, you know, fall, winter, spring. But in South Carolina, you have a fifth season. You're blessed as a Palmetto State, and it's called pollen season. Are you familiar with this season? Like, we are in this season currently. And it's typically during this time of year, what some people might call spring, where people decide to go and buy, you know, produce, some kind of vegetable plant or some kind of flowers or trees and come and plant them in the yard. In fact, my wife yesterday was gone all day at the State Farmers Market buying up all kinds of plants to beautify our yard, and she's doing a great job with it. But this is the kind of season where we do this kind of thing. We go and buy this kind of stuff. We come home, we plant it in our yards because this is the time to plant it so that it can grow and produce in the future. You know, pepper plants and tomato plants and strawberry plants and so forth. When I first moved here to Lexington and started working as an intern here, I bought a house. And I remember having my own dirt, my own soil of my own. I'm like, I'm doing a garden, man. And so I remember the first garden I tried to accomplish was in like my actual yard behind my deck. And so I prepped the yard and dug holes and planted plants, and within a week they were done. Scorched, withered, you know, just kaput. And I talked to someone, they're like, listen, instead of planting it like in the yard, you should consider planting it in pots. Get some big pots, put them on your porch, go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, buy potting soil, and then fill up those pots, then plant the things in those pots instead of your yard, do it on your porch. And so I was like, I'll give it a shot. So got big pots, went to Home Depot, and when you go to Home Depot to buy potting soil, the bags say things like this, perfectly formulated to build strong roots. That sounds good. Or it'll say something like this, ideal mixture for growing plants twice as big. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And so you bring the potting soil home, you put it in the buckets, and sure enough, when I planted plants there instead of in my actual yard in this perfect soil, guess what happened? Growth. Growth. There was roots that began to grow. There was growth from the plants. There was a bit of a harvest, like three strawberries to be exact. But it was something that I could actually eat from what I had grown in my backyard. You see, this whole series, I believe, is one of the most crucial things, crucial conversations we could possibly have. And the reason I say that is because this dynamic that Jesus is talking about within this parable, within this gospel story, it affects every part of our life. It affects every relationship that we have. It affects every endeavor that we have, every desire or decision, every priority, everything. And you see, Grace Marie introduced to us last week that in this story, the seed is a specific thing. The Bible says in all three gospels that talks about this parable, it says the seed is the good news of the gospel. The seed in the story that the farmer sows is this, that every one of us, we are in need of a savior. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has gone to great lengths by his life, death, resurrection to offer us an answer for that need. That's the seed that is sown. It's the good news. And then we have to ask the question further. Well, what's the soil that Jesus is talking about? Clearly, the focus is on the four different soils. So what is that? I want to introduce you to a passage where Paul addresses this in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, here's what Paul says. He says, for we are co-workers in God's service. He's speaking to his audience then, but he speaks to us as the church today too. We are a part of what God is doing in the world. And then he says these words, they're so profound. He says, you are God's what? Field. You are God's field, God's building. What that means is the seed of the gospel is this good news about Jesus, but the field, the soil that it's being sown into, is your heart and my heart, because we are God's field. This is the soil that's being described within Jesus' story that's meant to have the seed take root and then eventually produce good fruit. But here's the question this morning that I pose to us in the room as adults and to you as confirmation students today. What is the condition of your heart soil? What is the condition of your heart soil? Because some of us this morning, if we were really honest, our hearts are hardened toward the things of God. This is what Grace Marie talked about last week. With a hardened soil, the seed falls, but it's stolen away before it can ever grow. Maybe some of us this morning, our heart soil is rocky. It's not conducive for growth. Our heart soil this morning, for some of us, is full of weeds. It'll choke out the growth. But the goal is, the fourth soil in the story, is that our hearts would be what? Good soil. Good soil. Conducive for the kind of growth that God wants to bring to our lives. And I wish it were this kind of easy, that you could run to Home Depot, run to Lowe's, buy some potting soil for your heart, so it's just right, ready for growth, but it's not. I wish there was a way to have our hearts, I mean, with a perfect mixture, perfect formulation for strong roots, an ideal mixture for maximum growth. Just cut this whole thing short. Let's just get right to the chase. But the problem is you can't buy good heart soil. It doesn't work like that. So instead, as these confirmation students have learned over the past 10 weeks, there is a way to a heart soil that's conducive for God's growth, and it's by allowing God to do the growth that only he can do. It's a spiritual thing. It's a submission thing. It's giving God access to the depths of your heart. And so in order to do that this morning, we have to have a sober self-assessment of the hearts in our life. My family owns 23 acres up by Batesburg, Leesville, that we go and kind of have a bit of play farm on. I grew up in Indiana on a larger farm, and so there's something inside of us still that feels a little cramped up unless we get out to have a place to go and spend time. And so my dad and I have our tractors out there on the farm, and so when we go out, we drive tractors around, we hunt a little bit. We sometimes just go and like just stand in a field for a little bit. It gives life to us. And so when we go spend time out there, when we first got this property, my dad really wanted to produce something on it. And so we tried a couple things, soybeans, and eventually he landed on producing hay. And one of the best ways that we knew to produce good hay on this little property that we have was to take a bit of soil and take a soil sample, and then take that soil sample to a local ag extension for them to look at it and analyze it and decide, is this soil conducive for growth? Is there something lacking in this soil? Is there something that's needed to be added in this soil, so that my dad could respond accordingly to create the perfect environment for good hay to grow. And this morning, this is what we're going to talk about. I'm inviting us today to do the same thing, to take a bit of a sample, a soil sample of our hearts. Like, what is the condition of our heart? Because sometimes life is so chaotic. Life is so busy. There's so many things going on that too often we never take a chance to think to ourselves, do I have the kind of heart that's ready for God to grow in, for the gospel to grow in? Perhaps the reason my marriage is in shambles is because my heart is hardened toward the things of God. Perhaps the reason that I'm so downtrodden is because my heart is ridden with weeds. Perhaps this morning, the reason I feel so stuck is my heart is rocky and my faith is superficial. So I want to give you a moment to do that this morning before we really dive in. Just 15 seconds. I'm going to invite you to just be honest, quiet, vulnerable before God, and to allow him to take an assessment of your heart today. So I invite you to just close your eyes and just for 15 seconds silently say, God, search me and know me. Jesus, would you search our hearts today? There's nothing of significance that I could possibly say that would make a difference, God. It is up to you and your work. And so we are vulnerable before you, God. Search us, know us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So Jesus tells this parable that was introduced to us last week, and the parable says there's a farmer who goes out into a field. He takes seed and he broadcasts it, he throws it out, and the shocking part of the story is that three-fourths of the story, things don't go well. Only one-fourth do things go well. And Grace Marie introduced us last week to the hardened soil in week one where the seed falls. Today, Jesus tells us about the second location the seed falls. It's in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to go there in your Bible or on your phone. Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says this. Some seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So the second place that the seed falls, there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is there's a bit of dirt there. It's sparse, it's limited. There's a lot of rocks, and it begins to actually take root. But the problem is not the initial response by the seed in this dirt, but it's actually the coming results. Because Jesus says the coming results are, as these roots begin to grow, they get stunted, and these tender plants become scorched and withered by the sun, and they die. And so anyone who's ever gardened or farmed knows that rocky terrain is not the ideal place to produce some kind of great harvest. And yet this is where the seeds fall. In Indiana, where I grew up on this farm with my grandparents, there was a season each year where my grandfather would come and would till up the ground to get ready to plant the next crop, soybeans, corn, whatever. And my cousins and I, we would have a job each year. And our job was to take my grandfather's old three-wheeler and drive it around the field with a big wooden box on the back, and we would pick up rocks out of the field and throw them into the back of the three-wheeler. And so rock after rock after rock, we would find things in the field and get them out of the field. And if you know anything about my family, and if you've heard any stories I've shared, sometimes they paid us for stuff, and they paid us for rocks too, like a penny a rock, total ripoff. So we're out in the field in the hot sun, getting all the rocks out of the field. And when we would fill up the box, we would go, then drive, we would dump it. And I remember one day I was doing this, and I had all these rocks in the back, and as soon as I went to go to the next place to find more rocks, the whole thing tipped up backwards and just sat there stationary, and I'm like, what do I do now? But the goal was to make sure that the ground was as fertile as possible, as clean as possible. Because when you had rocks in the field, when you were planting, you could hurt the equipment that you were pulling through the field. You could limit the ability for whatever you were planting there to actually take growth. And Jesus says in the story, this is the problem with this area where the seed falls. It begins to grow, but there's not enough soil for it to sustain. And so when the sun comes up, it kills it. Jesus goes on to explain this portion of the story to the disciples. In chapter 13, in verse 20 through 21, then Jesus says this, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to people who hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So Jesus says, let me explain this to you. The heart soil that he's describing here is a rocky soil. It's a person who has heard the good news of Jesus, has heard the truth about what Christ has done for them, received it with joy. They've received the love of God. They've responded to his grace. They, just like these confirmation students during this 10-week process, maybe they got a Bible for the first time and began to read. They've spent time in prayer. Maybe they've joined a small group. Roots have begun to develop, but because there are rocks that are left in their life and in their heart, these rocks keep the roots shallow. It stunts the growth. And so as Matthew says, when trouble or persecution, or as Luke says in the gospel, when testing comes, the Bible says they fall away. They're scorched. They wither. Maybe even as I read this morning, this description hits too close to home for you in the room. Because maybe you grew up in the church. Like you used to be excited about Jesus. You can think back to your own confirmation. You can think back to a time where you had a hunger for God's word. You began each day with prayer. You used to surround yourself with other believers who were excited, but somewhere along the way, there were other things that took priority, other things that became more important. And so there was a stunting of your spiritual growth. This class is the 17th class I've seen come through confirmation here at Mount Horeb, which means a couple things. One, I'm very old. And two, it is so beautiful to see a group of 80 students make a decision to follow Jesus and profess it in front of a whole church. But one of the most heartbreaking things for me is after 17 years of confirmation students coming through, my question is how many have continued in their walk with God? It's not something that we can do for them. It's something they can only do. And for some of us in the room, you might be able to say, listen, that's my story. Like I had a time where I was excited about you. I received it with joy. And somewhere along the way, other things became more important and that joy subsided. And what's most heartbreaking is what Jesus describes here. There's a withering, scorching, a death that takes place. Here's how it happens. There's too many rocks. There's too many rocks in the good soil. You see, the rocks in our lives distract us from the things that are most important. The things that are most important. There are too many other things that become priority for us, more than our relationship with Jesus. It's the pursuit of popularity. It's the focus of self-interest, the things that I want. Building a career. It's searching for stuff like cars and houses and the newest thing. It's party lifestyle. It's feeding addiction. It's reliance upon relationships. These are rocks that get scattered in the good soil. And so to be clear, many of these things aren't bad in and of themselves. But they become bad when they become the focus rather than our focus being on Christ. And here's the problem. When there's rocks involved, it stunts the growth. The roots stay shallow. And so as Jesus says, when trials, testing, temptation, persecution come, our shallow and fragile spiritual state withers up. It's scorched and it dies. I mean, it is all well and good to make a decision and come down front and pray a prayer. It's all well and good to go through 10 weeks of confirmation and make a decision that you want to love Jesus and follow him. All those things are wonderful, but they mean nothing if it stops there. It's meant to be the beginning, not the end. We said this on Friday to these confirmation students. Man, I'm so glad you have finished this confirmation class so well, but I got news for you. This is not where it ends. God is just getting started within your life. Allow him to keep growing you, to produce deep roots so you can produce good fruit. You see, what Jesus is describing here in this passage, in this parable, the second soil, he would describe it, I believe, as kind of a superficial faith. In our culture, this might be the way we would talk about it. It's superficial. It's lacking depth. Like it has a concern for surface matters, but it neglects the deeper ones. So maybe we look a lot like a Christian, but when it comes down to it, we don't really live like one. To many of us in the church today, I believe that we have developed a shallow and superficial faith. We're lacking deep roots that are capable of producing good fruit within our life. And here's what I mean by good fruit. The Bible describes in Galatians 5, it's the fruits of the Spirit. These deep roots that we should have in our life and our relationship with Jesus should produce within our life love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This should be a part of our life. And not only that, but in increasing measure, as we grow, they should become more true of us. So listen, this list right here is meant to describe a follower of Jesus whose heart is good soil and has allowed the seed of the gospel to take root and actually grow. So there's a crop. So there's an actual harvest from our life of spiritual fruit. Did you ever have a grandparent, I know I did, who had a table kind of like setting they would put out sometimes as decoration that would look like a cluster of grapes? Anybody have, maybe you're like, oh, my house has that right now. Like this cluster of grapes. It wasn't real, but if you were in the kitchen and you were looking in the dining room and seeing this cluster of grapes on the table, like eventually it made it to the basement. I remember seeing it all the time. And this cluster, you look at it and be like, those look good. And you walk from the kitchen, you'd walk in the dining room and be like, I'm gonna eat a grape. And you get there and you're like, wait a minute, something's off here. These aren't real. It's plastic. Now, because I'm a weird kid, I would take one of those grapes off and just chew on it, you know, and it'd like squeak. Am I the only person that's ever done this? And they're like, I'm just confessing this, getting it out in front of all of you. You squeak on the grape for a little bit. And eventually I'd take it, put it back on there and tell nobody, because that's a little weird. But from far off, that fruit looks real, man. Like from far off, it looks every bit like a beautiful cluster of grapes. Like something that's growing, something that's alive. But close up, when you get close up, you recognize it's something different. This is a superficial faith. When there are so many rocks in our heart soil that it keeps us from developing these deep roots, we look good from a distance. I mean, this morning, y'all look good. Everybody comes here on a Sunday morning all dressed up. I mean, all you students wore same shirts this morning. Good job on preparing for that. I mean, we look the part. I mean, a lot of us, we come on a Sunday morning, we're generous, we give our tithe. We post Bible verses like on our social media, on our Instagram, on our Facebook. We pretend to be spiritual. We look the part often, but the problem is sometimes that fruit is actually fraud. That fruit is actually fake. We've learned to play the game. Let's be honest, we live in the South. It's easy to play the game. Just give the right answer, smile a little bit, show up with the youth pastor at Moe's every once in a while and just, you know, tell him what he wants to hear. We can play the game so well. And the problem is, it is incredibly dangerous to look like you have fruit, but not really have fruit. I want you to hear me this morning. We can fool ourselves. We can fool others, but we cannot fool God. We cannot fool God. So we have this tape that we play in our heads oftentimes to fool ourselves. It's things like, listen, everything's fine. Keep smiling. Give them what they want to hear. Show up at church. Reset the shot clock. Like, this is what it looks like. And this is the tape that we play. We'll fool ourselves, and we're good at it. We actually believe that we've got it all together. And sometimes our persona is so perfect and polished, and social media, we rely on that to have the narrative that we want everybody to hear and know and think about who we are. We can fool other people, but we can't fool God. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. He knows everything about you. And here's the thing. He's not angry. He's not frustrated. He's not disappointed. He's heartbroken. Because God has a life for you. He has a plan for you, a significance, a purpose, a meaning. But here's the thing. God cannot heal who you're pretending to be. God cannot heal fruit that is fraud. God wants you to be honest and vulnerable, to remove the rocks, to have good soil where he can take root and grow. Here's why the audience is so disturbed as Jesus tells the story. Because if you were a farmer in the ancient Near East, you knew how important it was for seed to take root and actually produce growth. The problem is the seed actually begins to grow at the beginning. Do you notice that? There's a root that starts, but it stays shallow. Because of that, it dies. You see, sometimes faith is real, but it's not resilient. Sometimes our faith is sincere, but it's shallow. And when that happens, we don't have what it takes to be able to face all that life throws at us. Life will break us. Only when we have deep roots, true faith, true fruit, can we come up against whatever life throws at us and come out the other side even stronger. So what do you do with a heart that's full of rocks? What do you do with a heart that's got rocks in the soil? You do the same thing that I did as a kid at my grandparents' farm. You go around and you pick them out. You get them out. And the most irritating thing about the rocks that would come up as they would plow the field is the next season, guess what would happen again? More rocks. Next season, more rocks. I wish I could say to you this morning, if you take this to heart, you get the rocks out of your life, you allow God to do growth, you're done for the rest of your life. It's not how it works. Every season of life has new rocks. Every season of life has new temptation. Every season of life has new things to steal our attention. This must be done every single day. God, would you point out in my life the rocks that need to be gone? Because I want to have deep roots. I want to produce good fruit. So would you help me? This fact is not lost on the Apostle Paul as he writes to the early church in Colossae. Here's what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He says, so just as you have received Christ, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul says, this is what it looks like to pick out the rocks and have good soil. The things you did when you first became a believer, the times when you receive the seed of the gospel with joy, get back to those things. It's kind of simple, but it's difficult to do. Spending time in prayer, reading God's word, surrounding yourself with other godly people, giving access to God to every part of your life, avoiding things that are evil. Get back to the things that you first did when you first came to know Jesus. Students, keep the pursuit of Christ that you have right now. The tools that you have learned over your 10 weeks in confirmation, continue it every single day. For those of us in the room who have a faith that's perhaps older than it exists right here in these confirmation students, get back to the things that you used to do in the beginning. Open God's word and read it. Spend time in prayer and listen. Live with humility. Confess your sin. Let those things change your heart to become good soil once again. In a word, be dedicated to the things that grow deep roots so that you can produce good fruit. The amount of energy that would come from my grandfather from the time that he would plow the soil to get ready to plant the seed, and by the time the crop actually came into the field, was amazing. I mean, he would get up early in the morning. He would go to bed late at night. He would pray for rain. He would pray against pests. He would fertilize, add nutrients as needed in order to promote growth. It was a ton of work, but guess what? By the end, when the harvest came in, it was time to get everything out of the field. All of that work was worth it. It was all worth it. See, good soil is worked soil. Good soil is worked soil. The things that grow deep roots, scripture, prayer, community, confession, humility, on and on. It is the way that we allow God to plow, till, and turn over the soil of our hearts so that we can have good soil that can produce great fruit. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, that you're at work in the hearts of these students this morning, at the work in the hearts of these adults in the room today. Would you help us, God, to become aware of the rocks that exist so we can pull them out, that we might have good soil, so that you could plant the gospel in our hearts and it will grow. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to show you a quick video of some students who are sharing about their experience in confirmation so you get a little taste of what they've gone through and what God has done. After that, we're going to celebrate by baptizing some students who have never been baptized and celebrating their journey together. Check out this video.